Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slapbox Podcast. This is episode 696. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, the three-legged kitty cat. So been up here in the room with me. He's probably going to be freaking out before too long because this is generally the time I clean his litter box and then brush him and give him a couple of T-R-E-A-T-S's. So if I just say the word, I'm afraid he's going to freak out. As I'm recording kind of late. You know, I worked 6 days this week. Worked today. Recording this on Saturday, of course. And there's a Blues game going on. They're playing the Panthers. Obviously, by the time I post this, that game will be over. But as of right now, it is tied 2-2. The second period is only like 2:10 left in the second period. As recording this, the Blues were up 2-0 at one point. And here they go with 2-2 apiece, tied up. And, you know, they're holding their own against the Stanley Cup champions at this moment. Still only a couple points back of a wild card spot, so there's still a chance. You know, of course, you know, as history had proved, you know, the Blues kind of like to do that. They like to suck ass and then all of a sudden turn it on and make the playoffs, which was their MO last year, you know. But there was a coaching change. And, and of course, the year they won the Cup, they were in last place in January. And then, you know, they went on to win the Cup. So, you know, I think they're going to win the Cup this year? No, no. Stanley Cup Finals aren't until next year. No. Still don't think they're, you know, they might. I think they could possibly, I mean, it's still within their reach to make the playoffs. So they win tonight, again, as the time I drop this game will already be over. But I mean, you beat the back-to-back Stanley Cup champion. That could be the start of a run. But it's weird this season. You know, they've had games against like the Edmonton Oilers, who have lost two back-to-back Stanley Cup finals, who are a really great team. They beat them. You know, they've beaten some really good teams this season. But then they shit the bed on a lot of games that they should have won. Like, there was no reason for them to lose two games badly to the Nashville Predators. At least, you know, fuck, make it close. Now, the Capitals, at least in recent history, they've not done well against the Capitals. That was expected for them to shit the bed. But when they shit the bed in Chicago, I don't remember. That might have been in St. Louis. I don't remember if that was in Chicago, but the first game they had against Chicago was bad. It's bad. Speaking of bad, pretty crazy to hear about Mr. Rob Reiner. I am a fan of, you know, several of his movies. As of course, if you haven't heard, I would imagine you have if you're listening to this. But, you know, Rob Reiner, it would appear, was, and him and his wife were murdered, and it would appear at the moment that it was his son that did so. He is at least in jail at the moment, being charged with that. You know, but I haven't really seen much in the way of details about it other than they were stabbed to death. I gotta say, you know, there are some similarities to an unsolved murder that happened in that same area. Now, it happened, I guess, about a little over 30 years ago. So, I mean, odds of being the same person that did so. But there was a famous unsolved murder that was the same sort of situation, that was a man and female, at least, and they were both stabbed to death. And they never charged anybody with that murder. That being Nicole Brown Simpson and Fred Goldman. They were murdered in Brentwood, stabbed to death. You know, OJ went to his grave looking for the killers. Oh, the Blues just scored a goal right before the end of the second period. They're currently up again as the time I'm recording this, 3-2. Justin Falk with the goal. I think that's his ninth on the season. I'll say in a moment. Which now he's the leading the Blues in goals, which is crazy that Justin Falk is leading. That's when you know you got a lot of injuries to the star players. Which, you know, Justin Falk, I like Justin Falk. Nothing against him. But, I mean, he's a defenseman that typically doesn't score a whole lot of goals. But, hell yeah. Oh, they must have called it back. Because I'm getting an alert saying it's the end of the second and they're tied 2-2. There must have been, damn it, I think they called the goal back. Why would they call it back? It looked like a clean goal. I think the Blues app got a little trigger happy there with saying the end of the second. That looked like a clean goal to me. They're calling it on FanDuel. That's a pisser. Anyway, yeah, that was a bad OJ joke. So I'm pretty sure OJ murdered those two people. But, you know, I would imagine if the Juice was still alive, he'd be like, you know, I don't know if the son did. You know, or, you know, which Rob Reiner's son would have been like an infant at the time of those murders. So, you know, clearly it couldn't have been him that killed Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson. Just saying. Oh, the Juice. I do love Rob Reiner, though. That it is a tragedy, even though, you know, this podcast, you know, I'm a twisted individual and sick humor. I did laugh to, you know, I laugh at things I probably shouldn't, you know, but I saw the Australian sketch comedy group Cracker Milk on YouTube. They're on YouTube and, of course, TikTok. Most of their videos are short, so, I mean, they're, you know, prime target audiences on TikTok. But, you know, I watch a lot of YouTube. I watch longer form videos mainly. But I do love me some Cracker Milk. And I'm glad I clicked on the video and saw it, like, right when they posted it, because it didn't stay online for very long. They had a video where Tamara was wearing a Nirvana shirt. You know, the In Utero Nirvana shirt with the lady with the, you can see her anatomy. You know, there's no skin. It's a Hellraiser sort of situation where you see underneath the skin, and the famous In Utero cover. She's wearing that, and then Connor says, "Do you even know any of their music?" And I don't remember if Tamara says anything past that, but they I guess they exchanged some words before it. Again, I was only able to watch the video when it first released. But after Connor saying, "Do you even know any of their music?" Or something along those lines. Maybe he's like, "Do you even understand the music?" or something. Then Tamara proceeds to pull out a shotgun and blow her fucking brains out. Now, granted, they didn't show her, you know, head being shot off. You see the shotgun, then they do a jump cut over to Connor's expression with this complete shock, and then there's a flash over Connor and the sound of a shotgun going off. So it's, you know, they don't exactly show her blowing her head off, but you get the impression, you know, it's a Kurt Cobain joke, which another person, I love me some Kurt Cobain, some Nirvana. Those albums are great. I don't know that I believe he killed himself. You know, I feel like Courtney Love may have, you know, that's a conspiracy that I think has a lot of weight to it, but, you know, I don't like to really go down that rabbit hole much. Anyway, regardless of whether or not he did kill himself, it's, you know, it's some dark humor. But yeah, I found that video very funny. I was diabolically laughing in the bathroom when I was getting ready. I was brushing my teeth the other night when I watched that video. And I just couldn't stop laughing from it. And so I sent it to several people, and by the time they received it, the video was no longer there. So, you know, yeah. But that being said, yeah, back to Rob Reiner. I think it is, you know, really terrible that he was murdered. And I haven't seen like all of his movies, but you know, there's several movies of his that shaped my life, I guess. I mean, one of the first movies, I can't tell you what the first movie I ever saw or that I particularly remember. Just a lot of those memories, it's not like they're time stamped in my brain, that I don't like the early memories. I don't know what happened first, you know, it's just kind of a haze of no, it's like there's no clocks or calendars around at the moment. But Stand By Me is definitely one of the first films I saw as a young child. Let's see here. His IMDb pulled up when Stand By Me came out, 1986. So I would have been 5 years old when it came out. I couldn't tell you whether or not I saw it in the theater or not. My family was big on, you know, we weren't really a sports family. We watched a lot of fucking movies, and I grew up in the heyday of movie rental places where you go in and get the VHS. And we had Betamax for a while, too, when I was really young. And also Laserdiscs. That was a thing for a while. And they had a rental place here in town where we would rent Laserdiscs. But I feel like that didn't last real long. But yeah, that was Stand By Me had to be one of the first films I really remember seeing. Nightmare on Elm Street was one of them too. That came out, oh, it was 1984 or so. And I saw it pretty young. I would have been 3. I don't know that I saw it initially when it came out, but I saw it when I was really young. I knew Freddy, as a very young fella. but, Stand By Me. Yeah. I mean, that left a mark on me, you know. You got River Phoenix, of course, Corey Feldman, Will Wheaton, and Jerry O'Connell. And, of course, Kiefer Sutherland is the bad guy in it. He's the older, like, teenager. And John Cusack, of course, is in it as well. It's got a great cast. And there's so many scenes. Like, I hadn't watched Stand By Me in shit probably over at least over a decade. When I did watch it, that was the movie I went to go back to see after I had found out about Rob Reiner. Yeah, I mean, those scenes just stick in my brain. And the big ones for me are the lard-ass pie-eating contest where he starts vomiting everywhere. I remember that one very vividly. And yeah, I saw that. As, yeah, again, a really young child. His revenge, Lardass's revenge. And the running from the train dodging scene where Jerry O'Connell is afraid to get up off the bridge as the train is coming. Will Wheaton is trying to pull him off. And he's just like, you know, he doesn't want to get up. He's scared. To get up, and then eventually he gets him off, and then they jump off the bridge as the train comes chugging along. And but the scene that really sticks out to me now, there is, of course, also before I get to that, there is the Chopper Sick Balls, which is a great scene. And I think Richard Dreyfuss, his narration of that scene is just the greatest part about that. I'm talking about Chopper Sick Balls. And, but of course, the scene that is by far ingrained into my brain from Stand By Me is the scene where they decide to take a shortcut going through the creek and, of course, get covered in leeches. And I played in the woods a lot as a child. There was, in Washington, Missouri, in the 80s, and in the 90s, there was a lot more woods. There was very few roads, you know, a lot less roads, I guess, at least highways going through the place. Way less houses. And, yeah, there was a lot of woods around. You could go on some adventures, go on in some creeks and some streams. But I don't know if the fact that I did play in, like, areas that looked kind of like what they were... wading through in Stand By Me, but the leech scene, like, really, like, fucked with my brain a little bit. Like, I was paranoid about going through creeks. I was like, I don't want to get no fucking leeches on me. I'd never seen a leech before that movie. I still haven't, as an adult, as a 44-year-old man, I have not seen a leech in person. Though now, like, watching as a child, like, ooh, you know, like, oh, it freaked me out, these leeches, and then them pulling them off. And of course, Gordy, Will Wheaton's character, is in his tidy whities, pops open his tidy whities. Of course, you can't see in there, but he's, you know, like, freaking out. Well, they're all freaking out as they've got leeches all over them. And then seeing that he's got a leech on his dick is just the acting is so great. Will Wheaton, you just, it's like the kid's dying, like he's taking his last breath. Which I would imagine at that age, had I had leeches on me, I'd probably have a similar expression and level of freak out. I'd probably be freaked out about it as an adult getting it on me, but I don't think I would be as freaked out as I would have been back then. But the holy shit, the acting in that scene in general, just River Phoenix, the late great River Phoenix, which, you know, he was in several movies as a kid. What, The Explorers? I think he was in that one. That was a good one where they take the tilt-a-whirl and make it into a spaceship. And of course, he was young Indiana Jones in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Not the young Indiana Jones series, but Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, the one with Sean Connery. Anyway, yeah, that the leeches, man. That really, really stuck with me. And for a long time, I was paranoid about, like, going through creeks. I mean, I would. I never went, like, knee deep. I know if the water was real deep, I'm like, I don't know about that. Again, I've done a lot of trail running. I never hadn't really thought about that scene in a long time. But watching it the other day, again, it'd probably been well over a decade since the last time I watched it. I have it on DVD, but I haven't cracked that DVD open in a very long time. It is currently on Netflix, and so I just pulled it up on Netflix. But watching that scene as an adult, it's just kind of funny. These kids freaking out about leeches. like that's just funny. Like it freaked me out as a kid watching the scene. As an adult, I'm like, oh, it's just kind of funny. These kids, their reaction was really my reaction watching it. But anyway, of course, Rob Reiner, I mean, I love This is Spinal Tap, which I haven't watched the sequel yet. I need to get around to that. I was kind of just waiting for it to, you know, be on a streaming service that I already pay for. I didn't really want to pay a lot to see it. But, you know, I might just get it on Amazon Prime. I'm, you know, throw a little cash that way. I don't know. I've been working so much overtime. I would have liked to have gone seen the second one in the theater. I just really didn't have the time. So I've seen a few movies in the theater recently, but again, yeah, it's been tough to go to the theater for stuff. The original is Spinal Tap, though. Fantastic. This is Spinal Tap, I believe is the title of it. Which, of course, you know, the most famous line to me, at least, is, you know, a guitar player, which I say that loosely. I've never been in a band, so a guitar noodler. I just rub my guitars at home and, you know, stroke the neck and whatnot. But, you know, the scene in that one sticks out to me, of course, is the Nigel Tufnell, I believe, is the character that goes and looks at, Nigel Tufnell, Christopher Guest's character, has the amp that goes to 11. This amp is louder than any other amp in the world. It goes to 11. Then, of course, Rob Reiner goes, why don't you just make 10 louder? So this amp is louder because it goes to 11. which is like the just the most beautiful scene. And I just love the spoof of metal bands. You know, I love me some metal bands. So seeing, I need to go back and watch the original. It's been a long time since I watched the original. There's so many Rob Reiner films that I really enjoy that I just haven't seen in a very, very long time. Spinal Tap, you know, being one of them. And that was another thing that kind of prevented me from going to see in the theater, because I really just need to go back and watch the OG. Although I don't think it would really matter that much. I know the characters. And, you know, through the years, Michael McKean and Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer have gone on and played those characters on, like, late-night television and stuff and made appearances as Spinal Tap. So, you know, I remember the characters. Spinal Tap, of course, was a big one. The two big ones for me are Stand By Me, as far as Rob Reiner is concerned, and The Princess Bride. I mean, The Princess Bride, holy shit. That introduced me to Fred Savage, that would go on to Wonder Years. That was a big show for me. You know, Fred Savage and I are not that far apart in age. I think he's more like Shelley's age. Which, unfortunately, you know, he got fired from the Wonder Years reboot because apparently he's an asshole to people. It wasn't like quite like he was sexual harassment, but he was kind of harassing people and just kind of a dick, which is kind of sad because I enjoy me some Fred Savage. And his show, Friends from College, that was fucking great. Anyway, Princess Bride, it was Fred Savage's first role. And, I mean, part of it is filmed in Ireland. I know the Cliffs of Insanity are the Cliffs of Moher, if you're familiar with Ireland at all. It is the number one tourist attraction in Ireland. And those cliffs are fucking amazing. If you go to see them in person, I highly recommend it. And, I mean, it's like the go-to. I'm pretty sure it's like the number one tourist attraction in Ireland, other than just, you know, being in Ireland. And maybe just Guinness. which there's just so many, you know, amazing things to see in Ireland. But it was really cool, you know, going to the Cliffs of Moher and knowing it was the Cliffs of Insanity, because that's another movie that isn't just so ingrained in my consciousness that, you know, I remember so much about the movie that it's just like, you know, when I watch stuff now, which I just watch so much stuff, and that I tend not to watch things over again. like The Princess Bride, back when that came out, you know, I had a lot less options of things to watch. And then if you got, you know, you rent it, you watch it, you know, a few times, like when you get it, or like anytime it's on TV, when, you know, back when I had like cable or just regular television, you know, watch the stuff over and over. Man, The Princess Bride, Andre the fucking Giant is in there. Cary Elwes, Robin Wright. It was Robin Wright at the time that I think, you know, became Robin Wright Penn when she married Sean Penn, but I think they're split up now. Not that it matters. But Robin Wright, the Princess Bride, and of course, she's Jenny from Forrest Gump. I mean, she's been in other stuff, of course, but I mean, that's, you got Billy Crystal. There's quite the cast, and oh, yeah, Christopher Guest is also in The Princess Bride. Mandy Patinkin is, you know, as Inigo Montoya. That is probably, might be the best character in all of The Princess Bride. Although Cary Elwes, you know, is pretty great. As was the Dread Pirate Roberts or Wesley. I think of Wallace Shawn, which I just only know his name by looking at IMDb. I couldn't have told that name without looking at it. Vizzini is his character's name, of course. But the most iconic line from The Princess Bride is, of course, "Inconceivable!" And, you know, I hear that in my head all the time. And there's the rhyming part with Andre the Giant, and where Vizzini tells him to stop rhyming, and there's just the line of Andre the Giant. I forget all the words in there, but he's just like, does anybody want a peanut? I don't know why that one really sticks in my brain. But holy shit, I mean, Mandy Patinkin is, you know, Inigo Montoya. I just love how he's going around like, you wouldn't by chance happen to have six fingers on your right hand. Man that killed my father had six fingers. And of course, when he meets the six-fingered man, which I believe is Christopher Guest character there, Count Rugen, or Rugen? or no, is that? No, that's not his. He's not the six-fingered man, is it? It's shit. Trying to remember here. I think that's... Is it Chris? No, it's not. I guess it. I think it is. I think it is Christopher Guest. It's been a minute since I've seen it. I know he's like one of the bad guys, but it's like, is he the six-fingered man? You know, I just remember, of course, the constantly him. Inigo Montoya. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Now prepare to die. He's just so fantastic. As Inigo Montoya, Mandy Patinkin. And of course, you got Peter Falk in there as well, you know, Columbo. Reading the stories to Fred Savage, reading the story of the Princess Bride to Fred Savage. And man, it's just another one. I saw it it came out in 87, I guess. And so I would have been 6 years old. And another one just ingrained. And of course, I saw, you know, When Harry Met Sally, you know, many times as a child. My mom was big into the rom-com, so that was big on the TV. And Misery, one I kind of forgot that Rob Reiner had done, but that's a fantastic movie with Kathy Bates and James Caan. I think that's as I'm trying to get back, like the Beatles. Get back to, here we go. Damn it, where is it? Oh, Misery, 1990. That's when that came out. It would have been like 9. Jimmy Caan. James Caan was in it. He's the writer that Kathy Bates is obsessed with. That, if I remember correctly, it's been, you know, probably 20, 30 years since I've seen this. She wants him to write another novel because it's been forever since he wrote the novel. And of course, she, you know, breaks his fucking legs and like, great movie. I need to go back and watch that one. Of course, you know, he did, you know, the, A Few Good Men, which is one that, probably his biggest film. I think that as far as acclaim and probably box office was probably A Few Good Men. That one was pretty huge. But yeah, man, rest in peace, Rob Reiner. Fucking legend. And man, by the way, I also loved his father, Carl Reiner. I mean, you hear him doing his stuff, his shtick with the great Mel Brooks, which is amazing he's still alive because he's like 100. And I know Mel Brooks served in World War II. I want to say Carl Reiner also served in World War II. I don't remember for certain, though. But Carl Reiner, you know, quite the comedic legend. They did Mel Brooks did the 2,000-year-old man bit together, which is some pretty funny stuff. And Carl Reiner directed The Jerk, which, if you ask me, is the best comedy ever made. I mean, just how it starts out with Steve Martin and just like, I was born a poor black child. I never had it easy. And just, when his mother tells him that he's not black, he's like, you mean I'm going to stay this color? Steve Martin was like one of the early people to play an idiot in a comedy. And would become, you know, a staple in comedy, just people playing idiots. Then he did it, so, you know, he was made quite the movie over that. And his stand-up was basically from what I understand, The Jerk is taken from his old stand-up. But anyway, yeah, those... It sucks, you know, I'm getting old and like all these actors and comedians and just people I grew up with are all, you know, I mean, it happens. I'm in well into my 40s. And, yeah, it just sucks. And especially brutally, like, murdered like that by your own family. Allegedly. Allegedly. Could also be the same killer that killed Ron and Nicole. Just saying. but yeah, man, that's, hey, it's, almost Christmas. I mean, that's got to be shitty for the family members, you know, everyone that's alive. I know he had other children. Yeah, he's got four different kids. I guess it's the younger son, I believe, that is in custody. But it's, man, it sucks. I guess Nick Reiner is the one that's in custody. It's a goddamn shame. But he's got four kids. Imagine just losing both of your parents and your brother in the same situation, you know? Is just not cool. Gotta be tough. He has two daughters and then two sons. Whereas they're all adults, at least. That's I mean, it'd be terrible if you were a young child and had that happen. Anyway. I had other shit I was going to talk about, but, you know, I got kind of, you know, talking about Rob Reiner getting murdered. It's kind of a downer. Kind of hard to segue out of that. I just thought of some other stuff to talk about. I'm like, that's kind of, I'm going to have to find a better segue out of that. Hey, Christmas is right around the corner. I don't have a whole lot on the docket as far as plans for Christmas are concerned. I am looking forward to just being off work for a little while. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be off as much as I have been in the years past, as we are still very busy at work. And, you know, I will still have several days off, more than I ever did before working at Can-Am, more than at any other job previously that I worked at. So, I mean, there's some definite, you know, I can't bitch too much. And I need the money. And if I didn't, if we did wear off more days than we currently are, I wouldn't have enough vacation to burn for it. And I kind of need, you know, to get paid for all those days. So it kind of worked out for me because there was that whole Germany thing. I partook in going to Germany for Oktoberfest, which was really fun. I had a lot of fun in Deutschland. And anyway, yeah, not a whole lot of plans. Might have Christmas over here at the penthouse or on Christmas Eve, or go over to the Muffin Man's for Christmas Eve. I'm thinking it's probably going to end up going to the Muffin Man's. But, you know, I got, you know, stuff to do here. Just see what they want to do. Going to make some hamburger casserole. Shelly and Abina are going to make some kind of sort of sides. I was going to possibly tomorrow get a small tree and see how that's going to work with Agent Fox Mulder here. Because thinking any tree I have or do anything as far as like decorations that are concerned that he's going to fuck with. Especially if there's, you know, things hanging off the tree, he's going to definitely want to fuck with it. But, you know, I don't know unless I try. So if I do like just a small tree, just a little test and put it on my table, maybe and get an idea, he's going to fuck with it. I'm pretty sure he is. I could at least maybe throw some Christmas lights up. I did get him a fox here, a stocking, as I haven't gotten anything to put in it just yet. I'll have to try to remember to do that tomorrow, maybe Monday or something. And yeah. So it's possible it could happen over here. And I do have Trivial Pursuit. You know, I have things we can do. We can watch the Star Wars Christmas special. That's very, or not Christmas special, sorry, the holiday special about Life Day. It's a, you know, classic day. But yeah, Life Day, you know, that if you haven't seen the Star Wars holiday special, you know, maybe don't do it because it's pretty nuts. It is a train wreck, but it's exciting to watch. I recommend watching it. You know, maybe not all in one sitting because it's hard to sit through. Of course, you know, you got like the first 15 or 20 minutes of the damn thing. Like there are no English words spoken. It is just Wookiees because it's following. Well, I think you get a shot, like a quick scene with Chan. Chewbacca and Han Solo. You get them at the very beginning, but after that, because they're talking about they got to get back to Kashyyyk, the planet of course the Wookiees, to celebrate Life Day with Chewie's family, and which apparently he never sees his family. If you want a great breakdown of the Star Wars holiday special, there's the podcast How Did This Get Made? Paul Scheer, June Diane Raphael, and Jason Manzoukas. And they just put out an episode about the Star Wars holiday special. And, you know, I recommend their breakdown on it. I mean, that movie is... I know we've brought... It's been a few years, I think, since I brought it up on the podcast here. But we've talked about it before. And I remember years ago, because I'd heard about it forever, but I didn't see it until it like finally appeared on YouTube. Yeah, I had not seen it. I don't think I had like initial reactions watching it on the podcast, but maybe we did watch it while doing the podcast after I'd already seen it. The movie's just basically it's what the fuck, like pretty much the entire time with of course there being at least like 15, 20 minutes near the beginning of the film or the special. I mean, it was a TV special variety show. And, you know, the whole point of it was just to keep up the excitement because people were afraid, you know, Star Wars broke records. At the time, it was the highest selling box office movie, you know, in history. And, but even with that, the people at, with George Lucas's company were afraid that, I think it was Hasbro that did the Star Wars toys, they were concerned that kids weren't going to remember it very much and the hype wasn't going to stick around for the next year when the toys came out because they didn't have toys ready when the movie originally went to movie theaters, which was the only way to see it. It was a couple of years before really VHS and rentals became a thing. So their idea to keep it in children's minds so they could, go out, like, be pumped and, you know, force their parents to, like, you got to get this fucking toy, is to, you know, put a TV special out there. You know, keep Star Wars fresh in the brain. And that became the Star Wars holiday special, which again is very, very nuts. I got to say, though, the Star Wars holiday special, there are some key moments that, you know, you can maybe like skip through some spots just the whole area where it's just Chewbacca's family just going the growls. You can skip past most of that. As as it was, you know, that's that stuff's rough. And you can tell Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, like, didn't really want to be a part of this thing. But I guess we're, like, contractually obligated. Of course, Mark Hamill has got some crazy fucking makeup going on. He's just like some kabuki theater shit. It is just like cake, just makeup caked on like a motherfucker. And anyway, the craziest part about the Star Wars Holiday Special is, I think by far, their ability to predict VR porn. And it's a little fucking weird that this was a special for children to get them to buy toys that they have a scene where Chewbacca's father, and there's no other way to take this, and apparently I think that whoever shot that scene has basically admitted that, yeah, he's just watching softcore porn. It's not full, you know, it's not, you know, triple X. It's not, he's not watching Deep Throat on there, which would have been, I guess, around that time period. Anyway, yeah, he's clearly got a VR headset on and he's watching fucking porn on there. But I mean, it was very much a prediction of, you know, what was going to happen in the future. I don't, you know, see why you would do that with your family nearby, fortune putting some fucking porn on. But anyway, that being said, I you know, that's what I use my VR headset for. It really, and whenever, you know, I do use it, sometimes I think about the Star Wars Holiday Special. And it doesn't get me hard. I want to point that out. Chewbacca and his family, the other Wookiees, not doing it for me. Not doing it for me. Kind of like a little less hair. A little less hair. Maybe a landing strip, you know, if you're going to do anything. But preferably not full-on Wookiee. but I do feel a little weird now with the VR porn. You know, I've got like like over 3 terabytes of VR porn on my PC here that I can, you know, of course, sync up my Oculus Quest 2 with the PC and be able to watch it off the PC without using the internet, which they are, you know, cracking down on porn here in the U.S., especially in Missouri here. And it could become illegal any minute. So, you know, I feel like at some point I'm going to have to pull that hard drive out and maybe rig up a PC that does not go online and that I just have strictly for the VR porn. But I did break down as they're changing the VR porn, like how, like currently most of the sites that have VR porn, you can just do like a 1 month sort of thing. They always have sale. It's always on sale, like their monthly fee. And you can pay like sometimes like $7 or whatever. You can pay $1 to have it for like a day. And then, but you can only download like 1 or 2 movies or something like that if you do the dollar download generally. But if you pay like the, you know, $14 or whatever it is a month for the monthly fee, you can go in there and you can download. If you've got a big fucking hard drive in your PC, you can go through and download all the videos that you want. And then, you know, cancel immediately, which I've done many a times. I've got, that's how I ended up with over 3 terabytes of VR porn on my computer. Now, granted, each video is a lot of memory. I mean, some of them are, you know, over 10 gig. So it's a lot of VR porn, but then again, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I was going to say, like, not as much as you might think. But there's quite a bit. There's quite a bit on there. But anyway, they do a lot of... originally, all of these VR porn sites had like lifetime memberships. But you're talking like a couple $100. But I broke down. I was like, you know what? Because I've seen that they are changing the way that these websites have figured out that they're really probably not making a whole lot of money off this, how they're charging for these videos, because people, I imagine I'm not the only fella that's figured out you can just go on for a day and download a bunch of fucking videos. As long as you got a good internet connection and a big hard drive, you get all you want for, you know, like $12 or whatever it is. It'd be good for quite a long time. But that being said, you know, the lifetime memberships, they always have those. They usually have some sales on those, which I had, what made me do it, I got like bundled together, did two websites as lifetime subscriptions, like $300, which is kind of a lot. But, you know, if you're watching a lot of porn with your VR headset, I mean, I used back in the VHS and DVD days, man, I spent a fuck ton on porn, because I remember going to the porn shop. You had to physically go to the porn shop to buy the stuff. It was like $50, $60 for like one VHS or DVD. It was not cheap, and I had quite the collection. So, you know, I spent some money on porn now. But also, Missouri is, again, cracking down on laws on porn here, and they're making it under the guise of that they want to keep children away from porn. And they're making it very hard to access porn. I don't know. I think you may not be able to access Pornhub at all. I think that might just be like gone. The ability to just like watch free porn is pretty much gone. There are websites still out there you can access in Missouri, of course. You can always go the route of using a VPN. But then again, you got to pay for a VPN account each month. So, you know, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to pay for these damn lifetime memberships, which, holy shit, the Blues scored again. 4-2. Jake Neighbors, I think, on that one. Anyway. Man, they might... Still 8 minutes left in the game, though. They could... Florida's not fucking around. They can score a lot of goals and fast. They don't need much time to score two goals. Anyway, good to see them currently doing good. Of course, even because what I was doing before, like I did these lifetime memberships, is I would, you know, peruse every once in a while. I'd be like, you know what, I kind of need some new VR porn. You kind of need to mix it up, you know. And I would look on these websites, and you can, you know, just see like a little sample of the video and see. But like, you can't even do that on most of those sites now because of the restrictions on porn. And you have to verify your ID, which a lot of them trying to verify your ID is, you know, to see who all is fucking doing this, doing the porn. Which I would imagine is a good percentage of at least of males here. But there's some nefarious, you know, reasons why they want all of your data as far as like the porn is concerned. I was like, you know, I didn't want to really do one of the ID things to where just like, but I'm like, fuck it. What are they really going to come after me to fucking arrest my ass? So I was like, yeah, I did the lifetime membership on two different sites because it was a bundled deal. And you have options. You can either use your debit or credit card and give that information. They give you like several ways to do it. You can take a picture of yourself and it guesses by your picture how old you are to tell the ID. I'm on some FBI monitoring list at this moment because of my porn goggles. That's what I'm getting at. But I've got I'll have access to those sites. I can't jump on Pornhub anymore, but I can at least, you know, go on those two. Oh, and they scored again. Holy shit. Blues are, man, after not being able to score for a while, they are looking... Looking pretty good. That was Robert Thomas, I believe, on that one. Hell yeah. 5-2, man. 5-2. 7 minutes still to go, though. It could assist by Pavel Buchnevich and Berggren, which the new fella one of the many new guys. There's so many. The Blues are like a week away from having tryouts from just like every regular Joe Schmo out there, I think. They get any more injuries. Anyway, the lifetime membership, what I was going to get at, the reason why I was like, I got to fucking do this if I want to keep having access to this shit, because it would appear that, again, these sites have figured out that the old model of the monthly fees and whatnot, I don't think that many people are, you know, signing up and keeping those memberships active, other than just a little bit to cancel it, and then, you know, after they've downloaded what they got the download. And I have seen at least on one site where they've gone to a different pricing thing where that you have to pay per video. And I guess you can pay to download it, or I guess basically to rent or buy sort of situation, which seems to be, I would think, would be the way to go. And honestly, not a bad way to do it, because like, it's not like I go and download a fuck ton. I've just gone through several periods where I've signed up to, six different VR porn sites. And, you know, paid a couple of bucks to download several videos. But it seems like more a logical way to do that. But I was like, well, if that's the way it's going to go, then a lifetime membership makes sense to just pay for that. At least on a couple different sites, so that, because it's cheaper in the long run if you're going to then pay, you know, $7, $8 for like one video. And what have you. Oh, and there's fights going on. There are fights in Florida. Good to see the Blues getting a little scrappy. Anyway. So I feel like they're going to do away with these lifetime memberships, which says it's a lifetime, but when I actually signed up for it, it did say 9,999 days, which doing the math is like 27 years. If I figured that right, about 27 years. Which, I mean, that put me into my late 70s or no, like, you know, mid 70s ish. I don't know, somewhere in the 70s. I don't want to figure out the math here, but, yeah, that would, like, I'm probably not going to be alive when that renews anyway. I mean, maybe I'll live that long. We'll see. My family genetics would suggest otherwise. But I would imagine I would, if I'm alive at that point, I probably wouldn't have the same debit card. So even though if it's set to auto renew, if that fucking site even exists anymore, 27 years later, could be porn is completely outlawed. And that could be that way next month. Who knows at this point? I might have to pay again, though, if, you know, 27 years goes by. But I'm fine with that. You know, $300 for two different websites to, get all the new... They put out porn, like, once a week, I think, on some of those sites. At least once a month, they're putting up new scenes. But I think it's, like, maybe once a week or so. So you get plenty of content. Again, it could be a bad decision. It could have been a bad play on my part. Porn becomes illegal soon, then I'll be like, fuck, I paid that $300 for nothing. Like, I'm, what the fuck? Anyway, VR porn. Thanks, Star Wars. It's all their, it was their doing. That's why the Star Wars holiday special was what, I'm sure nobody else would have figured that out. It wasn't for Star Wars. Anyway. Yeah. Christmas is, I do have other things, like plans for New Year's Eve. Of course, I'm going over to Jackman's house. Like, you know, I've done ever since I lived there, you know, I've been over there for New Year's Eve. We have board games and just a bunch of snacks and food and whatnot. Gotta go. It's tradition. Anyway, I will be going over there. But before that, on New Year's Eve, I am going to be getting two fillings, son of a bitch. As not really shocked. I mean, as much energy drinks as I consume, and there for quite a long time at work, I had been doing taking a Werther's Original, like before work, and then once after like first break, because I, you know, welding all the time really kind of fucks with my throat and what have you, and just like having a lozenge kind of helps with it. Kind of feels nice. Yeah, anyway, I gotta get fucking cavities filled. And so, you know, I guess I gotta cut back on the sugar and what have you, as, I'd prefer not to have to deal with cavities. So it could be a little bit of a downer when I go over to Jackman's, as, I will be, you know, eating and stuff. I would imagine I'm getting it done at noon. By the time I go over there, I would imagine, you know, I'll be feeling a little bit better. But I probably won't be feeling like eating a whole lot after getting, you know, yeah, cavities. One's like an old cavity that's got to get refilled. I guess the stuff that was in there is kind of not good now. But I do need like a other new one. And I was kind of sad by it, because like I haven't really felt a whole lot of problems with my teeth lately. I was like, shit. Though not surprised. Again, my habits have not been good lately. It is just, yeah, gotta knock that shit off. Knock it off. Hard to do with my job, though. I just gotta man up and the Red Bull I took earlier is wearing off. I'm surprised Agent Fox Mulder has not been harassing me yet, as he's not around. I don't know where he currently is, but it's almost 8 o'clock and it's like really the time I'd be cleaning that litter box and, you know, give him the good brush down. He's going to be like, what the fuck, asshole? I did have a moment the other night. It was Third Thursday, so, you know, I go out and do a group run and then hang out at the beer deck afterwards. Before the run, I had gotten my run clothes on and I was watching a video, getting ready to head out, but I was just watching a video on my phone upstairs, and I heard screeching, like loud screeching of a cat, like it had been hurt. It was very loud. It didn't sound like Fox, but I turned the video off of my phone so I could, you know, just pay attention to what the sound was. I was like, I didn't think it was Fox, but I was like, man, what if he, you know, had hurt himself downstairs? You know, like, I gotta go check on my buddy here. And I go downstairs, and he's just laying on the couch, but he's got these just wide eyes. They're like wide as manhole covers. Just like, and he is just like, what the fuck is going on? He's like freaked out because he can hear it. And like when I got down there, there's this cat right outside that just shrieking. Now, it was really windy Thursday night, extremely windy. It was enough to where it like blew people's trash into the street. And, you know, knock down branches and what have you. And, he's usually not, doesn't freak out on, I think the Blues might have just had a, yep, they had a shorthanded empty net goal. I think it was Robert Thomas again, shit. Which I think he's now tied with, Justin Falk for the leading goals. Anyway, goddamn. Anyway, there was a cat just shrieking. I was afraid that there was a cat that was really hurt, but I thought, you know, maybe it's just scared because of the storm, hopefully. I'm like, man, there's this cat that could be hurt out there. I got to check to see if this thing's all right. And so I opened the fucking door, which is awful because, like, if it's a person, I'd probably be like, oh, their parents, you know, there's there's somebody around. There's a person that'll check on that. If there's an animal, I'm like, fuck, I gotta check on it. Anyway, I mean, if a person was yelling help or something, I'd go out and check. But if they were just screaming, I'd be like, it's probably not my concern. A cat somehow, I'm like, oh, fuck. But I opened the door. And I was concerned, like, man, it sounded like it was right outside my front door. And sure enough, it was. And right when I opened the door, that cat immediately, like, ran inside. I was like, oh, fuck. Clearly, it wasn't injured. It seemed to be fine. And I had to grab a hold of it real quick. As it did have a collar on and with bells, but I was I didn't have enough time to, like, look at the collar, and I was freaking out because that cat, like, bolted inside. I had to grab it real quick because I was like, holy shit, there's about to be a bloodbath in here. I don't think this is going to go well when Fox runs into this other cat. And, you know, I was worried about my boy, really. I didn't want him getting fucked up. So, you know, I had to, get him. Get him out. The cat. I don't know if it was a him or a her. I don't know their what they go by. Maybe they. I don't know what their pronoun is. Anyway, this cat, feline, pussy, whatever you want to call it. I'm assuming it must have been one of my neighbor's cats. Again, there was a collar on it. Didn't get a look at to see if there was tags. I imagine there probably was, but this cat was not having any part of me picking it up. It did seem, like, nice. I think it might have, if I remember correctly, it may have, like, rubbed it up against my leg as it, like, ran in. But, like, it was quickly getting inside and was just very happy to get out of, like, it was very scared to be outside. Clearly must have been an indoor cat. I think probably got outside and just, like, bolted because of the wind. And, yeah, I picked the cat up and got just assaulted. Just cat apparently has all of its claws, which nowadays I think most people don't declaw cats. You know, I don't think it's best for you to declaw a cat because it's just causes them a lot of pain. And yeah, if they ever run into another cat, there's a dog or some, you know, kind of situation, you know, at least give them a little ways, you know, ability to defend themselves. Although they can fuck you up as well. It's kind of a problem, and your furniture. Bit of a downer. Anyway, man, Blues are tearing it up. Only a minute left, and there's basically no way for Florida to win this one. it was a little rough. I was able to. I picked the cat up. I put it first, just kind of put it outside. But I put it outside a couple of times, and it immediately ran back in. I couldn't get the door closed fast enough. And two, the cat was clawing the shit out of me every time I picked it up and put it out. Like, I got just slashed. And eventually, I didn't want to do it, but I kind of tossed it a little bit further from the door when I put it out so I had enough time to close the fucking door and not hit it with the door. Like, I'm pretty sure it landed on its feet and I didn't hurt it. But yeah, it didn't meow much longer outside the door. So I imagine it must have gone to its home or somewhere else. I didn't see it, like, dead in the street or anything, so I'm hoping it's okay. But it was a little touch and go, man. It was like, I didn't know what was going to happen with it. And the Blues win. Blues win Jonathan Bergeron, the new fella. First career three-point game, man. Tearing it up in St. Louis. Holy shit, man. 6-2 against the Stanley Cup champs, who have been doing really good. Is this going to be the start of a long win streak for the Blues? I sure hope so. But only time will tell. Only time will tell. Holy fuck. That is, let's go Blues, man. That is some great good stuff. That now, I didn't mention, I'm pretty sure I will be going to a Blues game while I'm off work a couple days before New Year's Eve. And so that'll be my first one of the season. I don't know that I'll be going to a whole lot more than that. Maybe one or two more after that, but we'll see, man. It's good to see them win the Stanley, beat Stanley Cup champions in their own home. Just like, suck it. Suck it, Florida. Yes. Does this mean they'll make the playoffs? I mean, there's a shot. They're only a couple points back of a wild card spot. And again, I mean, if you can do that to Stanley Cup champs and Florida, I mean, they're doing good this season. There's no reason to think that they won't at least be fucking in the Stanley Cup finals. I mean, this is just a really good team. And they've got, when I was watching the beginning of the game, they've got five players that have 10 or more goals. The Blues don't have one. Of course, you know, they have one of the worst records in the NHL. So, but you're looking at the best team in the NHL is the Florida Panthers. And the Blues just got to win there. But again, they'll probably play Nashville again and then lose 8-2. Just kind of how they've been doing. Lose the games that they should win. And then, of course, when they play just the best, some of the best teams, it's somehow like they manage to pull out. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Anyway, I got to get rolling. I got to go clean out a litter box and whatnot. So, as always, that is a kitten wheelchair, not a trash can.